Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone. We're gonna stir it up and do things our way. So if you wanna move, get out of our way. All right. Hello, pretty corruptors. It's Stacey and Nate here for a special bonus episode. And what are we talking about, Nate?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked. What are we talking about, Stacey?
We're talking astrology. Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Okay.
So if you do not enjoy astrology, then you can skip over this episode because it's not for you. But that's why we made it a separate episode. We didn't like hide it into a regular episode.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. What is astrology?
Ooh, I'm so happy that you asked that question. Astrology is the original study of the stars in the sky by ancient Greeks and Babylonians. Mm-hmm. And astrology and astronomy used to be the same thing before they got split apart by the sciences.
Before astronomy got too big of rich britches, as they
basically
would say.
Yeah. However, this astrology is the scientific yet also esoteric art and interpretation of how the planets in our own solar system affect not only us as individuals and throughout our lives, but also how it affects the greater world at times. So I could go into a lot of long things, but we're going to keep this kind of short because we're
short
today
for
short for us and short for me because I can be long-winded. So, well, you're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
But I will say this. If you are interested in astrology, and I do personal readings and chart readings, natal chart readings and relationship readings. So people can DM me and we can talk about that. I've got a Calendly also in my bio. So reach out to me if you want to know more. But today's astrology chart is a specific chart. It is called a synastry chart, which is a relationship chart between two people, two individuals, to see kind of how compatible they are. And I'm doing this for Lindsay Hubbard and Carl Radke, the stars of Summer House, who broke up infamously last August. And we finally got to see it on our television screens a little over a week ago. And the Summer House reunion just happened. We're recording this on Friday morning. But I do want to say this, that my interpretations were done after the finale and made before the reunion. In fact, I have Peacock. I don't have cable. So I have not watched part one of the reunion. So that's where these interpretations are coming from. And I'm going to try to keep it free as much as possible as my own personal opinions, even though like it might seem like they back up mine. It's just when I looked at their charts and I go, oh, well, they were doomed from the beginning. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But what I like to say about astrology is that it's the study and interpretation of patterns in your life that were like, quote unquote, baked into you at the time of your birth through your birth chart. And this is just kind of like, it's kind of similar to how our childhood experiences kind of bake into us psychologically and how and become patterns for us throughout our lives that we either need to begin to like recognize through therapy and work with them or break those patterns. And astrology is kind of similar in that sense. If we we all of a sudden start to realize that there are patterns in our lives that keep happening to us, and astrologically we kind of see them. So that's why you don't do an astrological chart on like a baby or like a 5-year-old. Like, it's better to do an astrological chart more like when you're in your like 20s and stuff, and older.
Maybe you don't. I do it on a lot of 5-year-olds. Wait, that phrase, the phrasing on that was terrible. Just ignore me. Just ignore me.
Maybe I should edit that out.
Yeah, maybe.
But so we're going to call this the astrology of Lindsay and Carl from Summer House. So this is about their shared chart and how their charts and their birth charts interact with each other. And I'm going to go over some good stuff and some bad stuff. I'm also going to talk about just a couple of like upcoming things and like transits to their charts that I think are important. So without further ado, I'm going to share my screen and we are going to look at their chart. I know. Isn't this fancy? Oh, I think I have to get rid of this banner. So there we go. So this is the chart of Lindsay and Carl. Now, I do not have their birth times, which is important. And birth times give you your rising sign, which a lot of people talk about, either ascendant or rising sign. Those terms can be used interchangeably. And the ascendant is the sign that is on the eastern horizon at the very moment of your birth. And that changes about every 2 hours. It depends on where you are born in the world. If I'm born in Austin, Texas at like noon, it's different than if you were born at noon in London on the same day. Do you know what I mean? So it's different. It all depends. Also, like if you were born, I think London's like, what, I think 7 hours ahead of Austin. So that would be 7 p.m. Still, there's a different, because of the rotation of the earth, there is a different sign on the horizon at that point. So it's very important to know what time you were born. Now, if you don't know the time that you're born because you're adopted, because you're born in a country where, you know, records aren't great, there are astrologers out there that can rectify your chart. I'm not one of them. That's a very higher level, but I can recommend people who can do that. What I'm going off of is just the Google information that I have of their birth dates. So we're going off of their birth dates.
Good enough for me.
Yep. Good old Google is telling us this. But the funny thing was that last week I was watching, I was like, I'm pretty sure Lindsay is a Leo. I was like, I'm pretty sure she's a Leo. Yep. She's a Leo. Just like you and Jordan. She is a Leo.
Ah, so she's an asshole like us.
Yep. She likes to see and be seen. Yep. And she's the king of the castle.
I like the cut of her jib already.
There you go. So, and Carl is an Aquarius sun. So they actually are polarized when it comes to their suns. They are actually opposite each other. So down here, this is, hold on. This is Lindsay's sun. And up here, that is Carl's sun. So they're right across from each other. I wish I could draw. I don't have that capability. They are right across from each other right here. So they're polar opposites, which sometimes, you know, opposites attract. It's not necessarily a bad thing. These are both fixed signs, which means they don't give a lot. They're not very accepting of change very easily. There are fixed signs. There are mutable signs. Those are signs that change quite a bit. And there are cardinal signs. And these are signs that like to begin stuff, that are action-oriented ones. Don't have time to go over all of astrology, but if I didn't say it before, I am doing tropical Western whole sign astrology for anybody out there who knows the difference or cares. But because I don't have their houses, there's just certain things. I've set everything to Aries on the horizon. So we can't deal with like certain other synastry points. If people are going to come at me about like, well, what about this? What about, I'm be like, I don't have their birth time. So we can't do that. And hopefully the information from Google is correct, but let's just go off of this. So they also have their moons across from each other, practically not exactly, but just about within about 10 degrees of each other. So you have Lindsay's moon is here in Scorpio at 0 degrees, and you have Carl's moon here at 22 degrees of Aries. It's an out of sign opposition, but you're going to see this. They have a lot of tug of wars with each other, which is kind of a theme for them, I would say, in their relationship. First, I'm going to go into what they have transiting right now. Right now, a big one, a big important one is for Carl. He, with being an Aquarius sun, and if you kind of are tuned in even just a little bit to astrology zeitgeist, even like through social media, you will know that Pluto entered Aquarius this year. Like it did a little dance last year, but it really entered Aquarius this year and is going to be in Aquarius for 20 years. Pluto moves very slowly. It takes 248 years to move around the solar system. So when it comes into a new sign, it's a big deal. It's a basically like a big shift. And so for Carl, it's coming into the house of his son, the sign of his son. He's coming up with a big identity change, a big career change, because the sun represents who we are at our soul level, who, what we want to be, our career goals, sometimes like our fathers, father figures, things like that. Whereas our moon is like our emotional life, is our mother, is how we feel about life, how we feel about ourselves, how we move through the world emotionally. And our ascendant is how we project ourselves in the world and also how the world perceives us. So that's more of an outer identity, whereas the sun is more of our inner identity. So there's a lot. It's no wonder like that Carl seems very lost, I would say, because Pluto is a planet of transformation. And that's a word that's used a lot, but it's also a planet of power and money. And it can be very dark, but it can also be very light. It's kind of almost like the dark night of the soul type of planet. Like you got to go through some shit to like get through this. But if you are willing to dig deep and go through it, then you come out the other side a new and better person, and a new version of you that you've always wanted to be. So
I can relate, sure.
Okay, there you go. So, and it moves very, very slowly. So it's really just starting to impact him, and it's going to be doing it, especially I would say over the next like 5 or 6 years, because he's at 7 degrees, and right now like Pluto's just at 1 degrees. But it's been hitting him kind of hard for the last few years, and we've seen that with him, with his alcoholism, his drug addiction, his brother's death. If I knew what houses he was in, I could tell a little bit better. But if Lindsay or Carl wants to reach out to me and wants a reading, I will do it for them. But that's one that's big for her, for him. Lindsay, she's the Leo sun down here. And Mercury is going to go retrograde in Leo later on this year. And so this could impact her, where there could be some backlash against her later on in the summer. Or she might go back on some things that she said. Or she might start to rethink how she's approached situations. Now, whether it's about this relationship or about other things, I don't know. But there's going to be some like rehashing, redoing, rethinking about something about her and really about her identity and how she sees herself as a person. So something about that. And retrogrades aren't necessarily, you hear about Mercury retrograde all the time, about, you know, things breaking down and all of that stuff. But it's also a time to really kind of slow down and look back. And it's like, oh, I really should go back over. It's like proofreading, you know, your work. It's a time to proofread. If you've been running through stuff really fast, okay, let's slow down. Let's go back. Let's proofread our work. Let's go see if we've made any mistakes here. And it's a good time to do that with Mercury retrograde. So she might be having a big moment with that, with herself and her career at that time. So we'll see. We'll see. And because she is a Leo, and that's the Leo house and everything, it just might be more public, since Leos tend to be more public. And there's other kind of like indications. I would say that in the short term, like kind of looking at their charts, Carl is going to lose the publicity war with Lindsay. Like, he's just not going to win. Like, she has a relatively blessed chart. She has very good planet placements. She knows how to sway a jury. She's very verbal. She's very domineering. And I mean that in a good way, or maybe dominant is more the name, the word I should use. She's very dominant in that sense. But I would say in some ways, you know, for, you know, people who are Team Carl, like Carl does win in the long term because he's not marrying somebody he doesn't want to be with, you know, and if he takes the opportunities and the challenges that this time gives him to grow into the man that he really wants to be and has been scared to become, which we'll talk about in a minute, he can go further than he imagined. But there's a lot of fear within Carl. So like taking certain steps has been fearful. This was a big step for him to say, I don't want to marry you. Or like, I think we should call off the wedding. But it's just a little tough. But still, without knowing their houses, Lindsay has a luckier chart than Carl. Like she just has more beneficial placements of a planet placements than Carl. And he has a lot of difficult conjunctions and conjunctions are when two planets are together. There are things called aspects. And that's what these little red lines, blue lines, these are aspects. And these are how the planets talk to each other. And they have these conversations, and some are, the red ones are tense conversations and the blue ones are more flowing conversations. They're easier conversations. And then if they're right together, like smack dab together, like here, the moon and the Pluto right here, that's a little bit more of a tense conversation here of like something that somebody has to work on. And speaking of working on, Carl has to kind of work harder at things in his life. And because Lindsay has been lucky, whether or not she thinks that she's lucky, she has been luckier in some ways than Carl at different things. But Lindsay doesn't get that he has to work harder. Like she works hard and results kind of happen very quickly for her. Carl works hard and he doesn't see the results as quickly, or he doesn't see them because maybe he's not working as efficiently as like Lindsay does. So there's a disconnect there between the two of them, even just at a fundamental level between us people. So that's a big difference there. Any questions?
Not yet. I will let you know. This is, yeah, no.
I mean, it's like reading another language. It's like learning.
Yeah,
another language.
No, I'm learning. This is really fascinating.
And what I tell people, it was kind of like I don't know how to read music, but it's kind of similar to like reading music. Like once you know how to read music and you're fluent in music, like a whole other world opens up to you. And I didn't know how to read charts. And then slowly over the last like decade of like studying, like, oh, like I know how to read these charts. Like I know just how this music fits together, like how this like symphony of like a person or a relationship's like how they come together. And so it's very interesting. All right. So now that we've gone over kind of like a general thing with them, I'm going to go over a couple of like good points in their relationship, because I think, because there are some good things with their relationship. They it really is yin and yang in their relationship. Like it is the pendulum swings wildly one way or the other way. And I think that's very important for people to know. So an important one, first of all, is, let me find it because my brain moves a little slower. Where's Lindsay's Venus? Lindsay's Venus, which is the female sign here, this blue one. Lindsay's Venus trines his sun. So all these aspects in here actually are just Lindsay's aspects. They're not the relationship aspects. So trines his sun. So it's a nice like flowing energy between the two of them. It's a breezy connection. This is like, and because Venus represents not just like, I mean, we all know Venus, you know, the goddess of like love and beauty and everything like that, but she's also the goddess of money too. Like,
she
brings money, and she's at home in Libra. Libra is a home for that. That's her natural home. That and Taurus are where she kind of lives. That's where she's happiest. So like money, not just attraction flows easily between the two of them, but so does money. And the friendship, the baseline of like friendship is easy for them. So they felt at ease with each other like early on. Also, her son down here in Leo trines his moon over here in Aries. So again, it's another great like friendship aspect. Any kind of like good aspects between the sun and moon is kind of is a wonderful like balance type of thing. They have things in common, but because she's the sun, she's the one that gives the light and the moon reflects the light. That's where she's a little bit more dominant because okay. She's the one giving the light and Carl's reflecting the light to her. So she, there's a little bit.
Sure.
As he should. Exactly. Another really positive aspect between the two of them is Lindsay's Jupiter right here. Jupiter is, you know, King Jupiter, the god of all gods, also Zeus, you know, in ancient Greek mythology, it's the same god. Largest planet in our solar system. It expands everything. It also protects us. It actually protects the inner solar system from getting bombarded by all the asteroids from the asteroid belt, everything. Like actually the asteroid belt is kept in place by Jupiter. Mm-hmm. So that it's right here with his Venus, also his Mars, but that's a different case with his Venus. And that is like, oh, let's bring like, this is a great relationship. Let's expand this love. Let's expand this beauty, this health. Let's bring ourselves money. Carl has his Venus in Pisces, which is great because it loves being in Pisces. It's not its home, but it's a place that it loves to be. It's like Norm at Cheers. You know, it's not his home, but Norm loves being at Cheers.
Got it.
So that is, that's when, if you ever hear anybody out there who ever hears of a planet being in its exaltation, not its home, but its exaltation, that's what I mean by it. It's Norm at Cheers. It's like, oh, I'm not at home, but this is like my second home. Like, I love it here. So,
or Jordan at Kathy Hilton's foyer.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Way to bring it back around to PCP.
Yeah.
I love it. This is why you're here. This is why you're here.
It's the only reason.
Pretty much.
anybody ever wants me around. Yeah.
Oh, but we love seeing your lovely face.
Aren't you sweet?
But see, and Jupiter's a jovial planet. So Lindsay brings the fun. Lindsay brings a lot of the fun, like that, like, let's get big, let's get loud, let's like, do things. And Carl brings like insight and support, that kind of loving, that I hate to say it because he asked Lindsay for that softness. It's because Carl's the more soft person. It's all that whole love language thing. Like he wants to be loved the way that he loves. And she wants to be loved the way that she loves. And he's a little bit more of like, I need nurturing. I loved, I'll nurture you type of thing. So, but he also has Mars. And the reason why I would say he's got fuckboy attractiveness is because he has Mars and Venus together conjunct in his chart. It's a very charismatic duo, but it also can be a fuckboy duo.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of charisma. It's a lot of there's a lot of outward sexuality and like going for things, but also being scared of this, and but also having like being very attractive. But and it's interesting because for him, Pisces is exalted here, loves being there. Mars, on the other hand, does not like being in Pisces at all. Does not like it. So there's a fight there. So his Mars, I would say, is not as strong there. That's another thing. This is a great combination for them. Venus and Jupiter together. Like, this is great. It should bring a lot of fun. And I'm sure they had a lot of fun in their relationship, like especially at the beginning. One other good one before we get into the bad stuff. So is Lindsay's moon here in Scorpio at 0 degrees of Scorpio is also conjunct not only her Pluto, but Carl's Pluto as well. And I want you to take note for just a second that Lindsay and Carl are almost a year and a half apart in age. She's August 11th, 1986, and he's January 27th, 1985. Their Plutos are at the same degree. They're both at 4 degrees. That's because of how slowly Pluto moves. And Pluto moved forward and then moved backwards. So at this time, Pluto has probably just come out of a retrograde when Lindsay was born for it to be at the same degree. So, but this Pluto moon is, it's very intense and powerful sexual attraction. Like, this was like, they were like, when they did have sex, at least at the beginning of their relationship, like, it was just like fireworks, passionate, like probably breaking shit, like Bridgerton style, like sex. Like, that is what this was. And because it's her moon, she felt emotionally supported. And like, she probably went to emotional places that she hadn't gone before. And for him, like, he felt like kind of seen, and like, maybe he could let a little bit of his freak flag fly a little bit. So, and it was very intense. But after time, you either thrive under this because you are both able to dive deeper together, both emotionally and physically, or one or both of you start to feel threatened by the other because one starts to pull back. And this has to do with the other aspects within relationships. So it's not just like the one thing. Everything kind of works together. This is a whole quilt that's being woven together as the relationship goes. So if one of them starts to feel threatened by the other because of the Pluto, this, because also there's a little bit of dominance with Pluto there. And she also has the moon conjunct Pluto in her natal chart. So she, there's a power struggle there because they've got two Plutos like coming at each other. It can be doomed. So this is like a great aspect, yet a bad aspect at the same time. So it's great sexually for a while until it's not great if things go bad. And things obviously went bad. So
did they ever?
Did they ever what? Go bad. You're right. Yeah. So let's get into the bad now, because it's time. So I talked about earlier about them being like lots of oppositions, like polar opposites here. The biggest one is Mercury, Carl's Mercury up here in Capricorn, opposite her Mercury down here in Cancer. It literally is like two people's communication styles that are completely opposite. Like, they cannot understand how the other one communicates. And for both of them, it comes off as criticism. The other one thinks that the other one is criticizing each other. Like, it's like the other one in both of their heads, they cannot do right by the other one, no matter what they say. So it creates tension. It creates irritability. This is just something that absolutely not, like, no, they're fucked. Like, to be honest with you, like, they're fucked. Even though, like, I saw that one first and I was like, oh, you guys, nope. Absolutely not. It's pretty bad. Like they could, it just doesn't allow for any harmony at all. And this is also like, Cancer is a water sign. It's a little bit more emotional. Capricorn is an earth sign. Now earth signs get a bad rap for not being emotional, and they can be emotional. Definitely. Like, literally, we're human beings. We're run by hormones. We're run by emotions, but it's how you line up your emotions. And there's a little bit more structure to the way that he tries to line up his emotions. Some could call that repression. I don't know. It always depends, but I will just say that, like, criticism and friction, like, that's just huge in this relationship. They just cannot communicate together at all. It's like, it's so bad. The second one that I think is actually really, 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 really big is this one, which is Neptune, her Neptune down here. And it's an aspect called quincunx, which is kind of a weird one. Don't even ask me to like explain it, but it is a harsh aspect. It's a red line aspect to his Chiron. And Chiron is it's an asteroid. It's called the Wounded Healer. And it basically points to, this is not a karmic wound per se. It's not like a past life wound. Like, Pluto's like a karmic, an expression of karma. So is Saturn. These will like express, like, also with like their Pluto's being together, they might be like expressing not only just like past hurts from previous like relationships or like childhood stuff, but they might also be expressing hurts from past lives, if you believe in past lives. Chiron is a hurt from earlier in your life. Like this is whether it was like parents' divorce, abandonment, abuse, or it could, or previous breakups, whatever it is. So this is like super difficult. Like this is like, this is about, and Neptune is a planet of, it's a great planet of like romance and idealism and wearing rose colored glasses, but it's also illusions and delusions and not being able to see things clearly and not really thinking clearly, like living in the fog. So this is where they have a lot of like fears and insecurities. And these are like what are kind of like ruling their relationship. And this is a very tight aspect. It's very, so it's very, very powerful. This is what's really important. And this is in one of my programs when I was like looking at it, the interpretation came up and I have to just quote it exactly because it's just too perfect. Cause I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is basically, they can't let go of past slights to the point where they can't see the other person's side. Mm-hmm. And this is the quote. And I'm going to, and I just inserted their names into it, but basically Lindsay often feels confused, wondering why Carl reacts so negatively to her actions. And in turn, Carl believes that Lindsay fails to fully understand and appreciate his talents. I mean, it literally is like almost every fight we've seen between the two of them this season is this aspect right here. Like, she's like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Like, why you're so negative. Like, why this is upset. Like, why me asking question is this. And Carl, like, doesn't understand why she can't see that what he's bringing to the table or what he was trying to bring to the table. Another thing, too, and this still goes back. Carl's got a lot of, like, Chiron wounds that he needs to be working on if he's not already. But that's also a part of, like, him being in recovery, you know? And I've said it since day one that they should never have been in a relationship for many reasons, but one, because they shouldn't have gotten in a relationship with his first year of recovery. Like, you're not supposed to be. So right, it's really right. Too tough. It's really too tough. And that's another part of, like, Pluto going through his sun sign is that it's really hard to build a new life just for yourself when you're getting sober, when you've had an addiction. And because you've, the thing that you have relied on the most is no longer there and you can't rely on it anymore. But then you add another person into that who has their expectations and you don't know how to handle those. And that just compounds it. So that's where like power struggles have been coming in for him. Let me go back. Sorry. As a tangent. But the next up is the next aspect that is really important between the two of them is another opposition. Again, opposite is his Chiron and her Saturn are right across from each other. And this is Saturn. Like I said a little bit earlier, it's an expression of karma. And usually like of like a very like Saturn's like the taskmaster of the solar system. It's like kind of represents like our father, our grandfather, like who is very stern and critical and tells us what to do. It's like our teacher of the mm-hmm. universe saying, you hear about people talk about their Saturn return and whatever house it goes through, it's usually teaching them a lesson this, but if you don't take the lesson, you're doomed to fucking repeat it. So we have to go through these lessons to do it. But anything with Saturn is going to make us sit up straight and we should take note of what's going on. But because Lindsay's Saturn is right across from Carl's Chiron, which is his wounded healer, he sees her as critical. Like, anytime he's trying to express this, he sees it as critical. Like she's just being critical. She's being stern. She doesn't get it. She's not opening up. And Lindsay is having a hard time letting down her walls in order to like allow growth between the two of them. Because in this space that she's in, it's actually her Saturn is conjunct this little asteroid that looks like a pom-pom called Juno. Juno is also like Hera, the wife of Zeus. She represents marriage contracts. So it's ironic that this is opposite Carl's Chiron. So like this marriage was doomed because he sees marriage with her as something as like very stern and not open and not something that he can like really be himself. It seems like somebody, I wouldn't be surprised if he sees Lindsay like his father in some way.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look, people, and I always say this, men don't have mommy issues and girls don't just have daddy issues. We have parent issues. It doesn't matter on your like gender or anything or gender expression. We have issues. Girls can have mommy issues. Men can have, you know, daddy issues, non-binary, whatever issues. Like you just have issues with your parents. So, and they express themselves in different ways. So he could see Lindsay behaving like his father. And that could be the truth right there. That would be his truth. And so he might have felt like he was going to marry his father and end up like, or end up like his father in marriage with her. And that's a wound for him. So that's like, it's like, oh God. Yeah. It's deep. It's deep. So it that's is. Why I was just it like, is. Ah, this is insane. One last one that isn't as bad, but still is like there. It is Lindsay's Venus. Again, we're going to go back down here to Venus in Libra. Is square, it's square her Neptune, but also square his Neptune too. So there is, this relationship was kind of idyllic in the beginning, and it was idyllic, and especially it was for her because she was like, I'm marrying my best friend, but it's also an illusion. It can go both ways. This square, it can be really beneficial and beautiful at times because you can be like, oh, we're so in love. This is amazing. Like I'm marrying my best friend. I'm marrying my Prince Charming, or I'm marrying like the woman I've always wanted to. But if you don't see things for what they are, you'll get delusioned very easily when reality does not match up to that dream that you had. And that's what happened here. And, you know, so, cause also she has Mars not too far away. So there always was something going, got to move fast. We got to do this. We got to do that. Like something kind of cutting through that fog there. Oh, wait a minute. There's one last one real quick. Her Pluto is also square his sun. So it's a harsh angle. So her Pluto down here in Scorpio and his sun up here in Aquarius, they would make a red line between the two of them. And this is just, it's money, power, and sex issues. That is what those are.
Isn't it always?
It is. But hey, I mean, they were both complaining that they weren't having sex towards the end of their relationship. So like, and I don't think it was like one person. I think it was like both of them. This was it's a power trip because this is also his son. This is who he is at his core, is fighting her, like whatever power struggle. And also with her emotionally, because her moon is right there too. So there's a square between her son and his son and her moon. So in some ways, like they can be best friends, but they can also be like really big enemies too, just not get along. So it really was a doomed relationship from the beginning. Like
sounds it.
This would be, because there no synastry chart. I just want to like say that no synastry chart is ever going to be perfect. Like no couple is ever going to be, you're never going to find that. It does not exist in the world. No, there's no perfect couple. There's no perfect chart. There's no perfect synastry chart. I mean, life would be boring if you didn't have like a little bit of spice. Like we need resistance in our life. We need that stuff, but they have like way more bad than good, and they need to like move through a lot of their issues. I mean, the fact that they started couples counseling like a couple of months after they got engaged is just a huge, that's just that Mercury across from Mercury, like right away, just, they can't communicate. They can't get it done. So, you know, it's good that they broke up. It's harsh, but they were never going to make it. And it was just going to get like really nasty. I think it would just would have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. We would have seen, because their power issues, their communication issues are just too great. So that's my interpretation without knowing their rising signs. That is my interpretation of their synastry chart together. So, yeah.
Okay. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Who are Lindsay and Carl? I probably started with that question. And what is a summer house? Too late? Is it too? I should have started.
Way too late. Way too late.
Although from what I've heard, it sounds like that Lindsay and Carl were here for a good time, not for a long time.
Right? Oh my gosh. It's so true. It's so, so true.
Although I take offense, though, to you saying there's no such thing as a perfect chart, because wait until next week, folks, when you do me and my Georgia Bay Sutton Strack. We're going to be perfect.
Maybe I should do you and Sutton Strack.
Please do. Wait, no, wait. I don't want you to. What if it's bad? I don't want bad news.
Maybe if it's good, then I'll do it. But if it's bad, then I won't.
We'll do the first half, like where you did all the good stuff. We'll do that half.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay. All right. Well, if you enjoyed this, please let us know. If you didn't, don't let us know. But if you are interested in an astrology reading from me, hit me up. You can DM me through my Instagram at @RealStacyConnor. Obviously, we want you following Pretty Corrupt Podcast wherever you can, on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Make sure you follow us, like, share, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Share us with your own astrologer, your tarot card reader, your therapist, the cashier at 7-Eleven who sells you your lottery tickets, like whoever. Tell them about PCP. And we'll be back later on with some more. We're going to be putting out more content, more stuff, more astrology stuff, more one-offs, and hopefully you guys enjoy this. Anything else from you, Nate?
No, not that I can think of.
That's so un-Leo of you.
You know what? I'm trying to start over, you know. New me, new year, new me.
We'll just see. You know what? We'll read you during Leo season, and we'll see like how much you're like feeling yourself then.
Leo season's the only season.
There we go. Here we go. I got you, boo. All right. Well, do you want to give us a lion roar off?
No, because I think it'll be creepy if I tried to roar, but adios.